It always happens, girl. Every time I strap this microphone on, I start sniveling. My amplified sniveling. Well, it's interesting. I'm going to speak this morning. Oh, thank you. Well, yeah. It's interesting. I'm going to speak on worship this morning. And really what's happened with us in this room is it's basically exactly what I want to talk about. So, amen. Amen. There's coffee. Let's... Well, you've heard from the Lord already, so why do you need to hear from me? I thought it was neat when Ben said he hadn't heard anybody preach from the Old Testament very often here, which I think is not entirely true, but I think there has been some, but not as often. But I'm going to read from Chronicles. So we're in the 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And I think I'm going to read most of the chapter. So chapter 16, starting at verse 7. So David has brought the Ark of the Covenant back. And it's the day that he committed Asaph, and then Asaph is a Bible character that I relate to. He wrote my favorite psalm, Psalm 73. He was one of the worship leaders. I've always been a little uncomfortable with the idea of a worship leader. Jesus is the worship leader. The Spirit of the Lord comes into this room in each one of us and leads us into worship. What we do, I think we're just lead worshipers, maybe would be a good term. Hopefully we've been giving our hearts to the Lord in preparation, and we've been worshiping Him, and we just fire the gun and say, let's go. And so we sing a couple of songs and pray a couple of prayers, but it's the Lord moving on a group of people, leading us into that worship. That day David first committed to Asaph and his associates this psalm of thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, call on His name, make known among the nations what He has done. Sing to Him. Sing praise to Him. Tell of all of His wonderful acts. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord in His strength. Seek His face always. Remember the wonders He has done, His miracles and His judgments He has pronounced. O descendants of Israel, His servant, O sons of Jacob, His chosen ones, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers His covenant forever, the word He commanded for a thousand generations, a covenant He made with Abraham and an oath He swore to Isaac. He confirmed it in Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as a portion you will inherit. But there were few in number, few indeed, and the strangers in it, and they wandered from nation to nation, from kingdom to another. He allowed no man to oppress them. For their sake He rebuked kings. Do not touch the anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim His salvation day after day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among the peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. Amen. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy in his dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Let the heavens rejoice. Tremble before him, all the earth. The word is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let all them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea resound and all that's in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then the trees of the forest will sing. The trees of the forest will sing. They'll sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes up to judge the earth. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Amen. Cry out, save us, O God, our Savior. Gather us and deliver us from all the nations. Say that together. Save us, O God. Say it again. Save us, O God. Cry out, save us, O God, our Savior. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name, and we may glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And then all the people said,
Amen.
And? Is that what we're supposed to sing? My mother always has a song. So Carol and Peggy and Emily and a few others. Emily hasn't been making it out there, but she will be, right? Are you going to be back? They've been studying Celebration of Discipline, and I picked up a copy of it and trying to keep up with my wife, who is a voracious reader, reads more books in a month than I do in several years. But one of the chapters, chapter 11, is on the discipline of worship, and that really caught my eye. I'm just going to read the intro to chapter 11 from Richard Foster. Now, he wrote this in the late 70s, and I think it's just as relevant today. To worship is to experience reality, to touch life. It is to know, to feel, to experience the resurrected Christ in the midst of the gathered community. It is the breaking into the Shekinah of God, or better yet, being invaded by the Shekinah of God. I think a bit of that happened here this morning. God is actively seeking worshipers. Jesus declared the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such the Father seeks to worship. It's from John 4:23. It is God who seeks, draws, pursues. Worship is the human response to the divine initiative. In Genesis, God walked in the garden, seeking out Adam and Eve. In the crucifixion, Jesus drew men and women to himself. John 12:32. Scripture is replete with examples of God's effort to initiate, to restore, and to maintain fellowship with his children. God's like a father of the prodigal, who upon seeing his son a long way off, rushed to welcome him home. Worship is our response to the overtures of love from the heart of the Father. Its central reality is found in spirit and truth. It is kindled within us only when the Spirit of God touches our human spirit. Forms and rituals do not produce worship, nor does the disuse of forms and rituals. We can use all the right techniques and methods. We can have the best possible liturgy, best worship band ever. But we have not worshiped God until spirit touches spirit. The words of the chorus, "Set my spirit free to worship thee," reveals the basis of worship. Until God touches and frees our spirit, we cannot enter this realm. Singing, praying, praising, all may lead to worship, but worship is more than any of them. Our spirit must be ignited by the divine fire. Incredible. So, my journey as a lead worshiper, I'm going to try and learn that new term, use that new term. Right around the time that this book was being written, we were very influenced by the charismatic renewal, going to these worship times, a lot of praise, a lot of noise, a lot of sound, a lot of declaration, pretty powerful times. But it wasn't until we were experiencing some of the worship music that was coming from the vineyard that we got a new sort of revelation of the intimacy of God. And I remember coming home from some of these other worship times. You know, we'd made lots of noise and we'd had lots of fun and we'd really rah, 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 everything's wonderful. But I hadn't really connected with God. And then when we would sing simple, when influenced by the vineyard and other streams, "Change my heart, O God, make it ever new, make me more like you." Singing songs to him and recognizing that worship wasn't just all doing this, but it was this. It was us relating to God and being moved by his spirit and then responding out of that. And it made a significant difference for me and many around us. Prairie Fire was a time where the worship, I didn't have to do anything. I could have sang. We were in a meeting over in Augustine there, in the midst of a number of us had gone down to Toronto. We'd gotten sort of blessed and touched, and we came back, and we decided to have this meeting. And we're in this room with probably designed to hold about 100 or 150 people. There were 500 people there. It was a hot August afternoon, evening, and my worship team, which was me and Lori Taylor and Michael Wilson, they were lying on the floor doing the worm or something. I don't know what was going on with them. And I was there with my guitar. There was so much heat in the room that my guitar would not stay in tune. I strummed one chord, and there was just this eruption of worship. The people's heart, we were so hungry for the presence of God. And we had experienced the presence of God when we went to these meetings with expectation for the Lord to come and to meet and be with us. And worship was the response. It was just like, we see what you are doing, God, and we respond to it with worship. It was a real high time for us in lots of ways, but I think it is. It should be the norm. It should be what we're experiencing all the time. And a number of us, these meetings were great. These worship times were great. But there was all kinds of stuff going on. When we picked Randall up and he was helping us with the equipment, and we'd go to the donut shop, and we'd walk into the donut shop and we'd go, "Wow, there's a room full of souls here that need Jesus." We were just with Jesus, but we've brought Jesus with us into this room, and our hearts were transformed by the presence of God. But it wasn't just in that place. It wasn't just in the worship service, it wasn't just at the meeting. The presence of God was with us as we went. As we... So Jesus is the worship leader. It's His work in our lives by the Spirit that brings worship from us. And I guess the point I was making about there was all the praise and celebration, and then we went into all this intimate time with the Lord, which was really special. But it had a certain negative thing. We started getting inward. We started, it's about me and you, Jesus. It's about my relationship to you. It's, oh, Jesus, I love you, and I know that you love me. And we started singing songs which have been referred to as Jesus is my boyfriend songs, right? And we get away from the reality that God is majestic and powerful and sits on a throne. He is the Lion of Judah, as we sang today. Worthy of... So, I mean, most references, worship is proskuneo, right? What does it mean? Bow down. Bow down. This is worship. This is worship. There's nothing in me. There's nothing in me that is worthy. He is worthy. So it's been this bit of a pendulum swing. And I think right now the Lord is leading us into a time where He's going to, in Christ, He is going to unite those two realities. He is the King of Kings and He is the Lord of Lords, but He's our Father. He's our Father. Jesus is our brother. He is our friend. And we will worship in spirit and in truth. So that one verse in there, worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. The beauty of His holiness. That's what He's leading us into in these days. So when we come together, so how do I communicate to somebody who doesn't speak my language that I want to hear them speak their language? How can I say that? When we were asking you to pray, we want you to pray aloud in your language so that we can hear, even if we don't understand. Does that make sense? Do you understand? Everyone in this room has a voice. And if we come together in this room with expectation that the Lord can move through any one of us and lead us into that place, that His Spirit, that His presence is amplified and magnified by the work of the Spirit in each one of us. The work of the Spirit in each one of us in this room is unique and special and valuable, incredibly valuable to God. And whatever we do up here is just our offering. It's just what we have. But each one of us in this room has an offering to the Lord. Years ago, Darren Jansen, who led worship, I just want to pray for Darren right now. Lord Jesus, I thank you for my brother, Darren. I thank you for the incredible gifts that he's been given, God. And I pray for a baptism of your Holy Spirit on him and his gifts, that he would once again, in every way, glorify you and give of what he has to you, Lord, and he would give what he has to your people. He had a vision of heaven and the elders casting down their crowns. And I think, like him, I always kind of thought, well, yeah, it's like, oh, off we go to the throne room again, cast our crowns down. But we come into the presence of God and we give whatever we have, whatever meager or however great it is. But it's as we lay down what we have, as we offer what we have, the light and the glory of God shines on that offering and magnifies it. And all of a sudden, we see a new aspect of the character of God. And we can't wait to get back into the throne room. We can't wait to get back into His presence to see what He can do with what little we have to offer. So when we come together as a people, we're praying about and we're thinking about and we're meditating on, Lord, what do You have? What do You have that's unique and special in me to offer in the gathering? And the gathering is greater than the sum of its parts. The gathering is greater than the sum of its parts. And we can have expectation for the Holy Spirit to come and be among us and to work among us and to change lives. And we can have expectation that when we pray, when we intercede, things are going to change. Things are going to be different. So, it's good when you get on a roll. This is from a little bit later in the chapter. We should have a holy expectancy. We need to cultivate this. We need to get in the habit of daily listening and conversing with God. Practice. Don't give up when you forget. Practice before a gathering of worship. Get there 10 minutes early and invite His presence and imagine it. Pray for all those who will be leading the meeting. When you're entering the room, ask God how you should intercede through the meeting. During corporate worship, we should expect an increase of the Holy Spirit. Our spirits are drawn into His dynamic presence. It's talk and text. His dynamic presence. Not dependent on ideas or even knowing lots about each other, the power of the Holy Spirit brings unity in His presence that can never be experienced in vicarious worship via media. It's something unique and special that God can do among us as a people when we gather together. Everyone should be hearing His voice. Miracles, healings, conviction of sin should be a regular part of worship. We need to be open to the gifts of the Spirit coming forth from anyone to edify all. Practice stealing your mind and listening for His voice. Praise God using psalms and hymns, and even if you don't feel like it, and expect the fruits of the Spirit. We're going to read Psalm 27, which is a reiteration of from Chronicles. It's either 27 or 29. Just let me. No, I'm. Where does it talk about the beauty of holiness again? Is that 27 or 29? That's 27. Yeah. So I'm going to read Psalm 27 in conclusion. And I'm going to read it the way I imagine some of these psalms should be read. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek. that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He'll hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle. He'll set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above my enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger, for you have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O Lord, my Savior. Though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witness rises up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. And wait for the Lord.